Church. Well, I must say that I'm very happy to be here today, because just before Christmas, I really thought I was going to die. I was ill for quite a while, but God has restored my life, because I know and God knows that there is a work for me to do. There is a work for all of us to do. And I thought, well, I'm going to preach today at Stoke Newington. I don't know anybody there, but I've met my running friends and I've seen some people from church, Holloway Church, have come to support me. So I thank them very much. And so I wanted to say, I have been tested positively for faith in God today. And I hope that you have too. I was told that the theme is International Women's Day, and the title that that the United Nations has given for the National Women's Day is Break the Bias in Society. And what the United Nations are saying, they want to make women equal to men. And they want women to be accepted for their contributions in society, of culture, historical, and other contributions that they have made in society. And so I was wondering, well, what can I speak about? Then I decided to turn to the Bible to find out what Jesus actually said about women and men. It is actually very difficult to preach about women without speaking about men. And so the sermon this morning is taken from the book of Luke. Now, Luke became a disciple after Jesus' resurrection. Now, Luke mentions women's ministry a lot, and so that's why I decided to speak about Luke more than the other Gospels he speaks about. He gives women's names. And so this morning, I would like us to take a look, and I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, never mind. You can go home and look at it later. And the title of my sermon today is, Did You Know? Did you know? So let us pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the Holy Sabbath day, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all the people that have come here today. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless each and every one of us. And whatever is said and done, may it be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, this morning, church, I would like you to travel back in time with me. I would like you to take another look at Jesus when he was on earth. Jesus, in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 1, it says that Jesus went throughout cities and towns and villages. He was preaching and teaching and baptizing and healing, and he was saving. He was making disciples. Jesus, in this occasion, in Luke chapter 8, he was in Magdala. There's a place called Magdala, which was 3 miles from Capernaum, and he was preaching with his 12 disciples. So the Bible doesn't actually say that Jesus was in Magdala, but Luke doesn't mention it, but it is mentioned in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 39. Where it says that Jesus took a ship to travel to the coast of Magdala. Now in verse 2, it's if you're following me, of the same Luke chapter 8, it says that certain women were healed of evil spirits, and Luke clearly mentioned Mary, and he called her Magdalene because she came from the town of Magdala. Her surname is not known. Nothing is told about her parents, any children she had, not even probably her occupation before she was sick. We don't even know how she became possessed. But in verse 2, it says that Jesus healed Mary Magdalene of 7 devils. Now fancy, imagine being healed of 7 demons. But I want you to know that there are a few Marys in the Bible. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary, the wife of Clopas. Martha and sister had a sister called, Martha and Mary had a sister. I said it wrong, sorry. Martha and Lazarus had a sister, and her name was Mary. I was trying to get it out so quickly. And they lived in Bethany. And it is believed that she is a woman that was caught in adultery. And she often gets confused with Mary Magdalene. Then there was Mary, the mother of James, a disciple. There was Mary, the mother of John Mark, who was Barnabas' cousin. And there was a Mary from Paul's church in Rome. So there are quite a few Marys. Now, Jesus also healed women. And they said he healed Joanna, whose husband Chuza was an officer in Herod's household. And he was responsible for the house. And he healed many, many other women. And I think Luke emphasized many women because there were many women. And it doesn't mean to say that Jesus didn't heal men. It doesn't mean to say that Jesus didn't heal children, I'm sure he did, and families. But Jesus healed them all. Then verse 3 says, these people that were lifted out of despair, they were lifted out of ruin, they were lifted out of lost, being lost with no sense of awareness and with ruined lives. You see, the devil had them just where he wanted them. But once healed, it appears that these women did not care any earthly things, as some people do. They decided this. They care for tomorrow. But don't you wonder when you read about Mary Magdalene being possessed with all those devils, 7 demons. Why do men and women get involved in spirit possession? Even in the Bible times and even now. Oh, did you know that the Bible warns us about possession of spirits? They are called unclean. They are evil. They are fallen angels who join Satan in rebellion against God. Now, if you don't believe me, let's turn to Revelations chapter 7. Chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent, the old devil. And he deceives the whole world up to now. He was cast out on the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so we might be that there's no such thing as demon possession. But we see in the Bible that Satan was cast out in to earth, and a third of his angels were cast out with him. Now, when you think of possession, there are many people who have taken jobs, women who have taken jobs possessing people today. We've got many tarot card readers, and most of them are women. We've got many people who read crystal balls, and they are usually women. We've got many people who take, many women especially, who take jobs in church saying they're going to tell people's fortune in the church. And it's all part of spiritualism. And then we get people sin. But church, we need to understand that through prayer, we can ask God to help us to create home environments where choices are made, positive choices that affect our life in accordance with God's plan. You know, there's a small story that there was a lady that I know, and she told me, oh, I found God. So, and she said, I've been to church and it was lovely. Then I said to her, well, what happened in church? And she said that the preacher was so powerful, when he got up to speak, everybody fell down. And she said, well, we couldn't get up. And I was trying to get up, and I realized my dress was flown over my head, but I couldn't get up. So I said to her, well, what was the purpose for that? But she wasn't speaking. She was so busy. She said, I'm going back next week, and I think it's great. I said to her, what was the purpose for that? There was no purpose. But she was saying, oh, the power of God. But I'm here to tell you, church, that God does not use that type of power. He doesn't throw anybody down. There's no need for us to speak in another language or babble in that no one understands, because we all speak English here. Now, I think what happens is people get mixed up in the word spirit. And many people, when you're going to explain to them that they're good spirits and evil spirits, they get confused, because the word spirit can mean the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ. It can mean the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It can mean drink in a distilled bottle, spirits. It can also mean evil spirits. And it can mean angels, because angels are ministering spirits as well. So many people get mixed up and confused with the word spirit. But what people do is they tend to use scriptures to back up their behavior. But it is very dangerous to use scripture to back up your behavior, because when you take something out of context, it changes the whole meaning. And one of the things they use in Galatians 5, let's turn to Galatians 5. One of the things that people use is Galatians 5, verse 5. And what does it say there, church? It says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So they've used that text to say why they should get involved in demon possession. They also use verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They also use, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. They use these texts to back up their belief that they should, but this is not what it means. I think what's happened is that people have got confused between possession by a spirit and fruits of the Spirit. Because if you actually follow down in same Galatians, it says there in verse 22, let's go, because this is very important, to verse 22. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. So these are the fruits of Christ's Spirit. So what this text is saying here is that you need to develop all of these fruits to be more like Christ, to develop a behavior like Christ. Because if you carry on reading, it says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So when you don't envy anybody, when you don't provoke anybody, it's possible that you have developed, or you are developing, the character of Christ. Did you know, church, that before Jesus met Mary and the other women, they were powerless to control themselves? They couldn't even think clearly. And Mary probably heard seven voices all nagging in her head. They told her to go that way, to come that way. And sometimes you look at people on the road totally possessed. When I was coming to church today, there was a lady shouting. She was shouting all over the place. You know, and I know that sometimes it looks like people are not altogether with it when they're on their phone and the plug's in their ear. But this lady had nothing in her ear. She was just talking and talking. Now, Mary lived in the town of Magdala. And imagine, she must have roamed around aimlessly. Imagine, she must have been laughed at. People must have ridiculed her. They must have shouted at her. Some people would have probably spat on her. Imagine that Mary probably ate out of the dustbin. And I imagine that some people even threw money at her or probably gave her money out of pity. But so if Mary or someone like Mary was to come to this church poorly dressed and with a stale body odour, would she be allowed to enter into this place? Because we've all believed that it is wrong to judge people because we are Christians. And once we develop the character of Christ, we should not be like that. But it is very difficult because many people turn their noses up. Many people move far away from who the person that's come in. But many people come to the church who are possessed, especially women. They come to the church possessed because they need healing. They need to see a glimpse of Jesus. They need to be saved and to have hope in the Jesus that we love. So we need to pray for wisdom, church, to help us to discern how to deal with these situations when they arrive by faith, through prayer, and anointing through the Holy Spirit. You see, our love, our kindness, our worship, our reverence, our prayers should tell of Jesus' greatness and his power to change our lives. Now, the city of Magdala, I don't know if you've heard about Magdala, but Magdala was a place, and it was small, but it was rich. It had a marketplace. It had animals in Mary and Jesus' time for its trade in tie and dye of material. It was famous because it was a fishing village. It processed salt fish. But we never thought about that. In Magdala, oh, I love salt fish. I like on its own, like it with bread, rice. But see, Magdala, the economy in Magdala, but those greedy Pharisees, they kept all the money to themselves, and they gave very little back to the workers, and so rich in blessings. Now, those women who were healed, it says there that Joanne was wealthy. Remember, she was a husband of Chuza, who was in charge of Herod's household. And so Joanne, she realized when she came to her senses that, hang on a minute, I'm wealthy. So was Joanne wealthy. And so was Mary Magdalene, probably, because all those women, it says at the bottom of verse 3, that they willingly gave of their substance to Jesus' traveling ministry. Well, and given of your substance, it could mean that you devote your time, your talents, and money to the gospel of Jesus. You see, Jesus respected women. Jesus was supported by women through his ministry. So Jesus empowered women. Now all those in Magdala received a transformation when Jesus came by. So they began to put their faith into action, and they became witnessing disciples. Now witnessing is just like when you share your vegetarian curry chicken and rice with others. If you give them that, then they will probably come back for more. But that's what witnessing's like, because some people love to hear about God. Some people love to hear about the goodness of Jesus. They love to hear that Jesus can heal, Jesus can save. So we have to maybe also give them physical food, the curry chicken, and they will probably come back for more. Mary and the other women and families, they follow Jesus. Then the news and the noise spread by those women and other people, including men and families and children. The news spread. And they were, what did they say? They said, come see a man. Come see a savior. They said, come see a wonderful, divine, supernatural healer. They must have said, come and see the greatest physician. They must have said, come and see Jesus in action. Amen. And so, because I was so excited, they were healed. And when I was sick and I was healed, I was so excited. I said to the doctor, can I go home now? I feel much better. Of course, I wasn't 100%. I was really weak and I'm very breathless. But week by week, God has restored my strength. So I often tell people, come and see what Jesus has got in store for you. Come read. And so we find that in verse 4, that a crowd had gathered from other villages and towns and cities. These probably weren't very far away from each other. And now, so Jesus, when he saw the crowd, he decided to preach a parable about nature so that all the people there could understand the meaning of discipleship. You see, Jesus wanted to impart truth to everybody without arousing suspicion and prejudice. Nobody there that was sitting in that crowd was concerned about their position or their status in life, because Jesus had their attention. And so from verse 5 to 15, he told of a farmer who went to sow seeds. And now the seed, because his disciples were asking, well, what do you mean by the farmer sowing seeds? And Jesus said that sowing seeds is talking about spreading the word of God. And so Jesus says that some seeds fell on the pathway. Some seeds fell among the thorns. Some seeds fell on rocks. And some seeds fell on good ground. And what Jesus was saying is not all men or women who hear the word of God will stay as disciples, even though they accept first of all. Disciples on the pathway are those who hear the word of God but do not plant the truth in their heart. And so they're easily swept away with other theories of possession. Some are swept away with evolution, reincarnation, and also they're swept away by those theories. And many churches actually preach rapture. They preach when you die, you're going straight to heaven. So I wish that was the case, but unfortunately it's not. Then Jesus says that the seed that fell on the rock are they who hear and accept, and they believe. They believe the truth, but they have no roots, because when temptations come in their life and they see disasters, they end up blaming God. Have you heard people blaming God sometimes? Why does God do this? Why did he say allow that to happen? And so they sow seeds of ungratefulness, and they eventually leave the church. And then their disciples on the thorns, they are those who hear the word of God, but they are choked because they spend far too much time worrying. And I've met some students, they worry all the time. They worry about riches, they worry about pleasure. But many of us today, especially women, they're unforgiving, and that will keep you out of heaven. Because you don't pray enough for strength, for guidance, and for love, and for faith. And so the seeds cannot take root in your heart, and so you leave the church. And then Jesus says that there are some seeds, however, that fell on good ground. Now, these are they, disciples, who believe, who accept, who love the Lord, who make disciples from other people when they pass by. Has anyone made disciples recently? Any women made disciples or any men as you pass by? Because this is our directive from God, to make disciples. Now, church today, it's up to you to decide, because I cannot help you. Where you are standing? Are you standing on the pathway, on the rock, on thorns, or are you standing on good ground? You see, disciples of Jesus, they should be faithful and blessed. They should stand on good ground. Did you know that Jesus is compassionate? He forgave all those in Magdala, and he will forgive your sins. All those in Magdala church, they became a light where darkness once reigned. And everybody in that town, it was supposed, they respected them. Now, we find in verse 19 that Jesus' mother came to listen to him preaching. And not only his mother, but also his family. They heard he was preaching, and there was a great crowd in Magdala, Galilee. So they came to see and to hear. But they could not get near to him because of the crowd. It was so many people there that day. And, you know, the disciples even said to Jesus, "Your family are here." You see, they came because support for your family members are very important. It's a bit like an umbrella, which supports its families in good times and in tough times. So we find that a family who stays together, who listens, who helps each other, who doesn't criticize each other, a family who prays together, a family who has morning and afternoon devotion, a family who educates their children in God's truth, they will stay together. Now, when we hear the word of God and we believe and we are baptized, then we now know that we are a part of the family of God. And I imagine this is why we call each other brothers and sisters. You see, Jesus, by his blood, has adopted us. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm heir of the kingdom. I'm royalty. That's what I tell people. And so a new name is written, and a new name was written in glory. It's mine, and it can be yours. And I'm sure Mary Magdalene, and we'll probably see Suzanne, Joanne, and many other women in heaven too, because they accepted Jesus and they walked with him and they believed. And once they walked with Jesus, they did not turn back. Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, and all those who Jesus healed, they followed, many of them followed Jesus from afar, afraid to get near. They followed Jesus to Pilate's hall when they decided to arrest him. They followed Jesus to Pilate's hall. They followed Jesus and they heard the leaders plotting to kill him. They saw the crowd that was spitting, beating him, making a crown of thorns for his head, and ridiculing him as he walked along. And they saw him nailed to the cross. Now, as a disciple of Jesus, are you following Jesus? Are you following the world's dislike for Jesus, who is the truth, and pretending that you love God? I think that we should love God, and I think that we should lift God up. And so I would like us just to sing one verse of this song, because I love music, and it's found in hymn number 371. Lift him up. Hymn 371. No, hang on. Right. Lift him up, risen Saviour. Let the dying look and live. To our weary, thirsty sinners, living water will he give. And the one who we are knowing, yet the Prince of Heaven was he. And the blind who grope in darkness, through the blood I shall see. Lift him up, the risen Saviour, high amid the waiting throng. Lift him up, is he the lectured, some men say that women today shouldn't preach. And I imagine that's why they have International Women's Day. They say women shouldn't preach. They say that some women shouldn't even be heard. They say that women are second-class citizens. In male-dominated countries, there have been laws passed to stop women from preaching or even saying Jesus' name or even believing in him. For many women, when they do profess they believe in Jesus, they either run away from home or they are burnt or imprisoned. But Jesus was persecuted, friends, so we must remember that. And as Christians, whether we're men or women, we will be persecuted also. You see, we have to remember that God's angels are holding back the winds of strife, waiting for you and me until we are sealed for eternity. Don't wait until laws are passed against us before we wake up. When will our offer of repentance come to an end? We do not know. When will our probation close? We do not know. You may be alive, but you may be asleep. And when I thought about this, because something happened one day, I went shopping, as women do, and as I walk into a shop, there was a teller, she was a woman as well, I think she came from Pakistan, and she was telling another lady, and they drew me into the conversation. So I stood and I listened. And she was saying that she had an uncle, and that they haven't seen an uncle for years since she was small. And so it was his birthday recently, so she bought him some belts, some buckle belts. And so then someone bought him a ticket to come to England. So what he says was he packed his suitcase, and when he got to the airport in Pakistan, she said that, they said, we can see something coiled around in your briefcase. But he said, oh, it's the buckles that my niece has bought for my birthday. I'm going to wear them when I get to England. And he told them that even when he came to England, that he went through something to declare. But no one opened his bag. They just let him pass through. But they did say to him also, we can see something coiled up in your bag. And he did say to them, I think it's the buckles that my niece gave to me. So anyway, when he came to his house in Wood Green, he must have told them he's really tired and hot from the journey. So he went to have a shower. And he was in the shower for 3 hours. So someone went to find out what was wrong with him. Why is he in the shower for 3 hours? And when his brother went to find out, they found him dead on the floor. And she said that when his brother looked in the corner, they saw a small snake wriggling. And they had to call the police, they had to call the ambulance, and they're all under investigation. But what happened, they said that maybe the snake, when he was packing his bag, went into his suitcase and he didn't know. And nobody opened it when he was traveling, so nobody knew. So she said they never got a chance to speak to him anymore, to ask him how he was. So this is a bit like probation. When we think we're happy walking around, our probation may close. So we need to be aware, church. Now, Mary was the first person to go to the tomb after the crucifixion on the first day of the week to anoint the body of Jesus. But when Mary went to the tomb, she wept. And men don't like women when they weep. They don't often understand them. But Mary just had to weep because she couldn't find Jesus. She thought someone came and rolled away the stone. But Mary was not in the garden alone. Jesus arose early, and she was the first person to witness that he had risen, and he spoke to her. And she was so excited. She ran to tell the others, spreading the good news of the greatest day on earth, that Jesus Christ is risen today, hallelujah. She must have said to the other women and men traveling, and to the other disciples and men disciples who didn't believe, that I have seen the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this reminds me of a song. It's song number 166. So we'll just sing one verse of that, because it's so fitting. Seem not. It's Jesus Christ has risen today. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Some song an angel say. Now, today we have New Age beliefs about self-healing. They have been reintroduced into society. And I don't know if you heard it, but this is spiritualism, church, I tell you now. And what they are saying is, if we think positively, that we can actually, and we have energy, we can heal ourselves. But how can, if we healed ourselves, how could I sing "The Great Physician Now Is Near"? Why would I be singing "There Is Power in the Blood"? You see, from a demonic to a disciple, Jesus is the only person that could heal you. And Jesus is the only person that has the power to heal us under his name. Jesus, you know, had a saving plan for Mary. And he also has a saving plan for each and every one of us. Despite our class, our cultural differences, and our continental differences. Mary and all of us, we should spread the good news of salvation. So we should always pray so that false doctrines do not enter into our hearts, our homes, and into our lives. We should tell the story of Jesus and his love. Now, the city of Magdala is not there anymore. It has been destroyed by wars. But I want you to remember that in the New Testament, that Mary was and other women, they were the first disciples to accept Jesus there and do missionary work. They could not change their past or their present, but God changed them so their future would be much better. So until Jesus showed up, you know, church, that women were thought very little of, and they were often stoned. And you know that stoning of women is still practiced today by men. Now, are you aware that we are the remnant of God's church? And there's one thing that we should know is that falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done. It's the best thing that Mary Magdalene has ever done. How about you, church, today? You see, because when people saw Jesus, they thought he was a demon. But Jesus cast out demons. Jesus, they put him on the cross. But he is a resurrection and the life. And even the dead know his voice. Jesus was called so many things, but he didn't worry about it because Jesus is love. Jesus is our light when we are in darkness. He is the bread of life when we are thirsty. And today, church, I want you to remember that Jesus wants men and women to work for him, because it says when you work, you are showing that you are a part of his disciple, because there'll be a coming a time when you just can't work anymore. And that, why I chose Mary was because she's a role model in history. Amen. And she is a good model for society as well. Amen.